You're listening to Cinema Central. I'm your host, DJ Ace, as usual. And you know what? I just realized it's been a while since my last podcast. Like, I did 2 episodes 2 weeks ago, and then I totally didn't do one last week. But there's a good reason for that, because I was actually prepping for this show last week, which is why I was absent. And what this show is a triple threat review. And basically what that means is I spent last week watching an assortment of films, and I'm going to review all of them in one go, specifically 3, because it's a triple threat. All right, so the films are The Incredibles 2, Ocean's 8, and Tag. Yes, went and saw all 3 of them last week. It was very eventful, a lot of fun, actually, because sometimes you just got to go on these like movie going sprees, you know, just like a marathon of movie going. Before we begin, of course, I'm sure it goes without saying, but spoiler warning for all 3 of these films: The Incredibles 2, Ocean's 8, and Tag. So you've been warned. Continue on if you dare, or you've seen the movies and you're curious what I actually have to say about them. Otherwise, go see these movies and then come back later. Starting with The Incredibles 2, as I've said before and is common knowledge, it's been 14 years since the original Incredibles came out, which is still one of probably the finest pieces of cinematic history ever. And that's a lot to live up to in a sequel, especially one this long coming. So all that said, this movie was still really fun to watch. It was pretty fantastic, actually. Dare I say, incredible. All that aside, obviously, it can't hold a candle to the first Incredibles movie, but it's pretty darn close. It is pretty darn close. Honestly, my only complaint is that the animated short at the beginning of this film was really bizarre. It was like really strange and metaphorical, and you know, there are children seeing this movie that aren't even going to come close to understanding what's happening here. I barely understood it. But other than that, that's my only complaint. It was a very fun film, as I've said before, and it broke the record for highest grossing opening weekend for an animated film, which says a lot about this movie, how excited people were for this movie. And it beat it by a large margin. It made $180 million in its first weekend. That's $50 million higher than the previous film, which was Finding Dory, which says a lot. Huge numbers. And I think that's domestic. So, into the actual film. The original cast is back, and it picked up right at the end of the first movie when the Underminer showed up with his huge drill machine. And it's pretty funny because they just go right into it, and no one asks them to save them, of course. And they just go for it anyway. Frozone shows up for it. One of the first kind of hiccups is that Violet gets stuck with Jack-Jack, and the guy that she likes like sees her without her mask on, because you know those silly little masks they are that they wear just cover up your identity so well. But yeah, so that's a funny thing that comes back into play later. And yeah, so they don't actually stop the Underminer. They have to actually stop his machine, and they cause all sorts of havoc, and they end up back in jail sort of, but they get released, and they find out the program that's been kind of helping the supers after the laws were in place is being shut down. And so they're stuck in a hotel with no idea what they're going to do. It's kind of bleak. Also, there's this really funny bit where that agent guy sticks Tony, that's the guy that Violet likes, with the mind wiping thing. And, you know, they talk about it in the first movie, but we never saw it in the first movie. And then seeing it in this movie is actually pretty hysterical, because it's just like this little suction cup and goes zunk. And it's just like, it's so ridiculous and hilarious. I stand by my statement that it wasn't in the last film. However, it just occurred to me, We did see the mind wiping device before in the anime, in the short Jack Jack Attack, or Jack Jack stuck with the babysitter in the first movie. So go back, watch it, and you'll see that I'm right. So basically, they get approached by these two like business tycoons, Evelyn and Winston DeVore, and they're trying to legalize superheroes again, and they decide to have Elastigirl be their, like, I was going to say poster boy, but I guess it's poster girl in this case, because Mr. Incredible's, like, too destructive, I guess, which is pretty awesome. And so, yeah, she goes into the city and she, like, fights crime and does all these crazy things, helping people, just building up publicity and just putting supers in a good public eye. And it's a lot of fun. And in the meantime, Bob has to watch all the kids. So that's Violet and Dash and Jack-Jack. And it gets really out of hand because then he finds out that Jack-Jack has powers. Not only does Jack-Jack have powers, we find out later he has 17 different powers, which is completely insane. And, like, there's a scene where Jack-Jack, like, fights this raccoon and it gets really out of hand. And, oh my gosh, he has to help Dash with his homework. And then he finds out that the boyfriend's mind got wiped, so he has to deal with that with Violet. And he's, like, not sleeping and stuff. And it's just really funny. You kind of feel sorry for the guy. And they're actually staying at this really fancy house while Helen is off superheroing. And it's just funny because Bob really wants to be superheroing. And it's, yeah, it's just a really great role reversal, you know, just doing a complete 180 on these characters in the sequel. And it's really enjoyable. Back to Evelyn and Winston. We find out their motivations. Their father was a really big proponent of superheroes, and when the law got passed outlawing them, you know, it really wrecked him or whatever, and he had, like, direct lines to two specific heroes. And when his house got broken into, he called the line and they didn't pick up because they were either dead or hiding. And so, yeah, that's actually how he gets killed by the robber. And so Winston is using that as his motivation for bringing superheroes back so things like that don't happen anymore. Evelyn, on the other hand, so Winston handles, like, the business side of their tycoon. Evelyn's, like, the brains behind it. She's, like, the inventor making all the stuff. She has different motivations, and I'll get to that in a minute, because while they're helping Elastigirl fight bad guys, we find out there's a new villain in town called the Screen Slaver. I admit, it's kind of clever. It's a clever name. I'll give him that. Who's, like, using, like, hypnosis, digital hypnosis to just, like, take control of people. And it's pretty horrifying. In fact, it's so horrifying that they had to start putting warnings at the theaters warning people about all the flashy images during this film, which is terrible and funny all at the same time. So yeah, Elastigirl's, like, hunting down the Screen Slaver, and Bob's at home taking care of everybody, and he has to involve Frozone at one point, and he has to involve Edna as well. And it's just a whole lot of fun. It's a really fun movie. Screen Slaver, the villain. Surprise, surprise. It's Evelyn, actually. So, you know, it's kind of cool because, you know, at the same time that Elastigirl's the main hero of the story, the villain is also a woman, and it's just really cool how they did that. She's trying to do the opposite of her brother. She's trying to make supers illegal forever, and her plan to do that is, like, they're on the boat signing the thing that's going to make supers legal again. She's just going to ram the boat into the city and kill everyone on it, including all these other superheroes. And speaking of other superheroes, it's nice to know that there were other superheroes across the globe, you know. That's really nice that to know that there were other folks out there still alive after Sindro, like, went on a murder spree. And we do, and there's some interaction with the new, like, newer generation of superheroes as well. Evelyn is trying to discredit the superheroes because she thought it was stupid that their father relied so much on the superheroes when they could have just gone into this perfectly safe panic room that was also in their house, but instead he went for the superhero phone, and that's what got him killed. So, yeah, the motivation's really solid, and I like it. And that's why she did this whole screen slaver thing. So she takes control of, like, all of her main superheroes. And that what that does is that Dash, Violet, and Jack-Jack have to go save everybody. And they do, and it's awesome. And they break the mind control, and they had to stop the boat, and they stop the boat. And then Elastigirl stops Evelyn slash Screen Slaver. And it's all a happy time. It's all a really happy time. And superheroes are made legal again. Dash passes homework. And Edna helped deal with the Jack-Jack superpower problem. And Bob fixed Violet's relationship issues. And it's all very happy at the end of the film. And it's a lot of fun. Also, end credits, if you didn't see them, next time you go, stay for the whole credits because there's these really awesome song things they do at the end credits. Anywho, so yeah, overall, for me, it captured a lot of the magic of the original Incredibles. It wasn't as good. I wouldn't say it was as much of a masterpiece as the first one. It was kind of funny going to this movie because they like do a little introduction with the cast members saying, yeah, sorry it took us so long to make this movie, but we wanted it to be perfect. But yeah, and you know, for all intents and purposes, it was. I would just say it wasn't as good as the first movie, but it was still a really, really solid sequel. I have very little complaints with it. Really enjoyed it. It was just a fun experience all around, and I would totally recommend seeing this movie. All right, so this is what I have to say about Ocean's 8. It starts, actually, exactly the same way as the first Ocean's 11. And when I say first Ocean's 11, I don't mean the one that came out in 1960. I'm talking about the one we all know about. So it starts out the same way. Sandra Bullock plays Debbie Ocean, which is Danny Ocean's sister, which Danny Ocean's the one that George Clooney played. And she's getting out of prison. And it starts the exact same way, and it's just really funny. It's this nice, refreshing blast from the past. So yeah, the first Ocean's 11 came out in 2001. So this movie was way longer coming than Incredibles 2 was. Like, wow. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, she gets out of prison, and one of the first things we find out is that she's just like her brother. She's totally a crook and a con woman. It doesn't sound right to call it a con man when the whole cast is females, you know? So, con woman, and she's basically terrible, and so she's been in prison for 5 years, and she's been planning this one job for that entire time, and one thing that they immediately throw at us is this idea that her brother, Danny Ocean, is dead, but she doesn't buy it. Like, she visits his tombstone, and it's really interesting because we don't actually know if he's alive. They never actually answer that question, which is pretty cool. And Ruben shows up at the cemetery to say hello, and then we move on with the heist. And one thing I really, really did appreciate about this movie was the visual aesthetic. It felt very much similar to the Ocean's films, just like cinematic style with the cuts and the transitions. I really enjoyed those. And the other thing I also really think is funny about this film is how, or the Ocean's films in general, is that they just grab these normal people that are just like in tough situations and be like, hey, do you want to go rob a bunch of money and then you won't have to worry about it ever again? And it's just like, what? It's like, these are normal people. I feel like normal people just don't become criminals. or they're criminals already. I don't know. Anyway, it's just, it makes me laugh, okay? So yeah, Sandra Bullock plays the main character, and her BFF, Lou, is played by Kate Blanchett, and she's kind of there as the BFF and also to help with the con, and then they recruit all these other folks for it, and also Anne Hathaway is in this film. She plays Daphne Kruger, this kind of stuck-up actress person, and it's kind of funny. They think they're just going to, like, take advantage of her, I guess, klutziness? I don't know. They don't think she's very smart, is my point. And so they're just going to use her as part of the heist. However, by the end of the film, turns out she was in on it the whole time, which is kind of funny. And she's like, she has the funniest reasoning for it, too. She's just like, I don't have any friends. I'm just like, what? And oh yeah, so that was just really surprising. And so they give all this emphasis to stealing this specific necklace, which they do technically steal it, but that wasn't actually ever the goal. The goal was to steal all the other jewels in the museum. You find that out at the very end, and they do like the back cap where they just, like, show you what actually happened while all this other stuff was happening while you watch the film. And you're just like, oh, it all makes sense now, which is exactly how the other movies worked, and it is just lovely. Overall, I really did enjoy this film. It's actually done pretty well in the theaters, and I do enjoy it. If you're a fan of the original Oceans, you'll probably like it too. The only trade-off I would say is that it didn't feel as intricate as the originals. That's kind of the only... It didn't feel as intricate. Didn't quite have the finesse of the original trilogy. But it still be fun. And it leaves options open for the future, I think. For either a sequel or possibly a crossover. I would love to see this group just cross over with the original Oceans group and just have a crazy time. And I want that movie to happen. But it will never happen because all these people are like high-end actors and actresses, and getting that many people together at once is like a logistical nightmare. Final review. Tag. Saw Tag, and the trailers all say it's a true story, based on a true story. Guess what? It actually is based on a true story. More on that later. So the whole premise of Tag is that it's a comedy starring five friends playing tag during the month of May. It's perfectly harmless, right? Wrong. it gets a little out of hand, not going to lie. So it stars Ed Helms, Hannibal Buress, John Hamm, Jake Johnson, and Jeremy Renner. Jeremy Renner plays the friend Jerry, who's never been tagged in like the 30 years they've been playing it. And he takes it way too seriously. It's kind of scary, actually. And first of all, of course, it is rated R for reasons. So while it can be crass, it is still a surprisingly fun show. It's completely over the top. And it's just like the interactions between all these characters was completely ridiculous. Just some of the gags and the pranks and... just like, it's just way, it's so over the top. It's not even funny. I mean, it is funny. I mean, comedies are always touch and go for me because they're either just dumb or just super crass or pointless. But this one was actually nice because even though it is technically rated R comedy, mostly for language, it's just still enjoyable and had a fun little message at the end of it too. And like I said, the funniest thing is that this is a real story. Like in the movie, there's a reporter who shows up to do one thing with John Hamm's character, and then she decides to cover the story of these guys playing tag, and she works for the Wall Street Journal. And at the end credits, they show us the actual article on the Wall Street Journal about the group of friends that's been playing tag for 23 years. So it's actually a real story, and they showed us of actual live footage of these guys playing this game of tag. And it's just completely hilarious and funny that this is a real thing that these guys did for 23 years. It's like, wow, talk about friendship. And like some of the things they did in real life got transferred into the movie, and it was pretty nice. Kind of the message at the end of the movie was just like, it was never about playing the game. It was about, you know, being friends and all that jazz. So it was a fun ride. Yeah. I mean, it's a comedy, so there's not really a whole lot I can say about it as opposed to these other films. But that wraps things up. I had an eventful week. It was fun. Credibles 2, Ocean's 8, Tag. Now I want a movie that crosses over all three of them. Just kidding. But if you have a really great pitch for a crossover between The Incredibles 2, Ocean's 8, and Tag, please tell me about it. And there's three easy ways that you can do that, and that is on my social media accounts for Cinema Central. And they are on Facebook, which is now at Ace Cinema Central, all one word. On Twitter, at Ace Cinema Central, all one word, drop that last A. And also Instagram, also at Ace Cinema Central, one word. That is how you can find me on the internet. If you liked what you heard today, please feel free to hit that subscribe button. And I'll catch you next time, because I need to go see the new Jurassic World. So I'll catch you soon enough. Thanks for listening.
Booyah!